Hey, would you stand with me one before we go to the message, and let's go to the Lord. Let's just give this message to the Lord this morning, that this message would be put into practice, because it's wonderful to see how God works. Heavenly Father, we ask that you open up our hearts and our minds to what you have to say this morning, Heavenly Father, through your message and through your word, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we see your message. Heavenly Father, just continue to bless many people and bless us here at North Central. So, Heavenly Father, we give it to you. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and everyone says, amen and amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. We thank you so much for coming out this morning. Just a quick announcement that next Saturday, we're having our first annual blood drive. We already have about 7 people signed up this morning during our Bible study. Alyssa will be out in the foyer. We will be here. The blood drive is from 10 until 1:45. So if you please, again, I've said this before, it takes a few minutes to do the questionnaire. It takes 8 minutes to give, and then it gives another few minutes to recover in terms of just drinking water and some snacks. So it doesn't take very long. See Alyssa after service. You may have seen a story this past week on television. Matter of fact, we had our luncheon this past week, and they brought a young boy to the luncheon who's about 6 years old, who had a brain tumor, and he had to go get treatment, and one of the treatments was to give blood. And during the ceremony, which is about several hundred people at the ceremony we had this past week, Channel 13 were there, and they did a story. So if you look it up on your phone there, you'll see a story on both of those channels about this young little boy who actually met his donors who gave blood to save his life. And so, again, next week, next Saturday, we'll have the big donor coach in the parking lot. See Alyssa after service. We've got plenty of openings for next Saturday. So not just to give your time, but give your blood. It'll save 3 lives. Let me ask you a question this morning as well. Do you remember or recall a time that when your parents got after you when you were little? Does anybody remember a time when your parents said to you, whatever it may have been, and they got after you? You did something, and they got after you. Anybody remember being told something? You got your finger told or something, and you got called out. Remember those times? I can remember when, I think I have told this story before, where I stole a piece of gum from a store, and my dad took me back to the store to tell the owners that I had stole a piece of gum, and then he gave me a piece of him as well. And after he gave me a piece of him, do you think he did that out of love, or you think he did that just because he didn't have anything else to do that afternoon? He did it out of love. You know, sometimes there are many times in life when God says, you know, you've done something and I'm not proud of you. But I want to share something with you, because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Remember that story? God created the heavens and the earth. And then after that, then he tells Adam what? He says, you can eat from any tree. Remember that? But you cannot have the fruit of this tree. Remember that story? Everybody remembers the Genesis story. And then what happens after that? Do they eat the fruit anyway? Yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to get into all the details behind that story, but it kind of gives a kind of setup of the story that we're about to share with you today. Because God says, look, I asked you not to do this, and you did it anyway, so I'm going to have to do something about it. Your dad or your mom says, I told you something over here. You did it anyway, so there are going to be some consequences. In our days, when I grew up, today we call it, or when my son and my daughter was raised up, we call it timeout. You got to go to timeout. Timeout? What the heck is all timeouts all about? My mom would make my sisters... True story, my mom's not here today. She's sick. Pray for her, because she's dealing with some sickness this morning. But she would make my sisters kneel on rice. I never got that one. I only got the chancla. I never got the rice. That hurt. But it's interesting that we do things that we know we shouldn't do, but yet we do them anyway. But you know what? There are times that we have to understand how all this works in the scheme of everything that we do each and every day, because when we look at Scripture, Adam was created to have a body, a soul, and a spirit. Did you know that the early temples had three rooms? The tabernacle that Alan's going to put on the screen had three rooms. There's one of the tabernacle. And the next screen, you'll see there are three rooms towards the back. And sometimes I look at that going, hey, it reminds me of how we are created. You have the one room outside, the outer room, then the inner room, then the Holy of Holies. I'm thinking, okay, out here you have this room, this body, soul, and spirit, because that's where God meets us in the tabernacle. But sometimes we do things that we're not proud of, because in Matthew on the screen it says this, see, your house is left to you desolate. So what I want you to do, I want you to turn your books, your Bibles, to John chapter 2, because you're going to see a place where Jesus is not really happy at a moment. He actually doesn't get happy twice in Scripture. But we'll see it in chapter 2 of the book of John. Because what I want you to see is that there are times that we do things that we are not proud of. Yesterday, as we were having the benefit outside, it was amazing that there was a few that were introduced to this church. Every time we bring, if you ever bring someone into this church, they look inside this church and they go, wow, this is huge. I didn't think this church looked like this from the outside. I remember when I walked into this church and I said, man, this is a big church. It's a nice church. It looks fabulous. It looks really cool. But something that we don't do, or we never think of doing, and nothing against those of you here who do this. Again, nothing against you. You know me. I love you. You know how my heart. My heart is for you. But you wouldn't smoke inside the sanctuary. Even when there was smoking inside buildings years ago, you wouldn't smoke inside the sanctuary. You come into this room. Somebody came into this room yesterday in here, and as they walked in, he took off his cap because he had reverence for this room. There are many who would come in here and would just say, wow, and they would never say a cuss word in this room. It's amazing when you walk into the presence of God, how it changes your demeanor, your atmosphere, how you look. You come in here, and I remember going to Catholic church, and I would walk into the church, and it was quiet, but you would respect the church inside. And as you walked up to the cross, and you saw Jesus on the cross, or whatever it was in the Catholic church, you would respect everything around the altar. You would never think about doing anything bad at the altar or inside the church. As soon as you walk in, you knew you were in the presence of God. And so what's amazing is that if we have this much respect for this sanctuary here, in this building that we call the church, I'm going to show you something that is going to be reflective of you as well. That you are the church. So let me show you something here. One is this. Jesus says that he is also a temple. The perfect house that God lived in was Jesus. Let me show you what it says on Scripture. Jesus answered them. He says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now, I know when we study theology, this has a different meaning that I'm using it today, but just bear with me here. it says Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and he says, I will raise it up in 3 days. Destroy what temple is he referring to? That's the question. Hebrews 10:5 says this in the next passage. This is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, you did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. In other words, Jesus is a place where we enter into, because when we say, Jesus, we ask you to come into my life, but Jesus could not have sin. He did not sin. But you know what something is, that he became our sin, because in the next scripture, look what it says here. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we may become righteousness of God in him. In other words, Jesus had no sin. His temple had no sin in him. But in order to be saved, in order for us to be saved, he became our sin on our behalf. He who was a temple, who was clean, had to defile the temple. Sin into the temple to save you. So let me say this. God cannot live in a dirty house. Let me say that again. God cannot live in a dirty house. Now, I'm not saying this, oh, Tom, have you seen my house? My house is dirty. You mean he's not there? No, I'm not saying that. I am saying this. You who are believers, you are a temple. You're going to say, Tom, I'm a temple? Yes. Scripture says it's you who are the church. You are the temple. You see, there's a pattern. A house design, a house desecrated, a house desolate, and a house destroyed. Now, there is a permanent house that God lives in. And you know where that house is? You know where he lives in? You know where God lives today? You say, God lives up in heaven. Tom, you just said your in-laws and your family are up in heaven and God is in heaven. But let me show you, God is in you too. How do I know? It says it in Scripture. Look what it says on the screen. It says this. Or did you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you not of your own? That's what Scripture says. Let's say that again. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit comes inside of you. You have God in you. The Spirit to guide you. You are not a temple, a house inside of you. That's what we say when we come to the church. The church is not the building. The church is who? The body. That is what we talk about. So when we say God doesn't want to live in a dirty house, but you say, wait a minute, I have things in my lifetime that I am not proud of. You mean he moves out? I didn't say he moves out, but he cleanses the house. You know how he cleanses the house? Let me show you how he cleanses the house. Because first of all, when we talk about cleansing the house, we're not talking about what we see, or again, we talked about earlier that we take the house. But let me show you in 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says this on the next verse. I'm sorry, I will ask them, there you go. Did you not know, sorry, back one, there you go. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? We mentioned that before. You are a temple of God. Someone told me that one time, Tom, I am righteous. This is someone else in another religion who goes to another church, and they say, my body is a temple. And I said, no, it's not. And they go, Tom, my body is a temple. And I'm thinking, no, it's not. Tom, my body is a temple. I take care of it. I don't eat like you do at Whataburger. My body is a temple. But then I got then she came back to me a few months later. She goes, Tom, I was mistaken. Yeah, you can eat meat. I'm sorry, you can. And I guess you can. But here's what this is saying. Do you know that you are a temple of God? You are a temple. Why would you come into this temple in this church and not do anything bad in here? In this church, you will do anything in here because you respect this house, this temple. Why, God says, would you do the same to your body? Why wouldn't you do that to your body? Why wouldn't you do what we do? And again, you know me, I do this out of love, and I say this with all respect. But there are many things we do to our bodies that we're not proud of. We see things in our eyes that we should not see. We say things out of our lips that we would never say in church, but we say it anyway out behind these walls. We said a while ago that we were singing that songs about our lips to praise him. And my goodness, we were praising him all week with everything he was doing for our family. But yet these same body and these same lips get really mean and say things that we don't like to say, but we say him anything. And we go out there and we just go, bah! And we let these things come into our minds, into our heads. Anything in your heart, in your life that steals away the glory that is due to the Lord, it's just something you should not do with your body, with your temple. I want to show you something on the screen up here. Actually, no. I asked you a while ago to go to John chapter 2. Is that where I had you go? Yeah. John, are you guys there? Okay, good. Because I'm not there. Sorry about that. Here we are. Now watch this. I want to show you in Scripture a story of Jesus. You ready? A story of Jesus when he got upset. You say, Tom, you mean he got upset? Yeah, he got upset. Watch this. In chapter 2 of John, verse 13, it says this. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves and money changers seated at their tables. And he made a scourge of cords. I want to come back to that. He made a scourge of cords, and he drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturn their tables. And I want to stop right there. This is Jesus. Do I have some? Yeah, I have something up here I can use. I'm going to use this cord here. And I want to use this like, I'm going to do something here. There we go. I don't know if you notice in that passage, in verse 15, why I stressed a little while, he made a scourge of cords. Let me say it of the story. When Jesus was 12, and throughout as he was growing up, he would go into the temple and he would go in and probably would go in and he would worship the Lord. He would worship the Lord on the mountains and he would worship the Lord in the temple, and he would teach. We pick up the story here in John chapter 2, and it says that he went into the temple, and he found people, what does it say? They were selling cheap. They were selling this. And then the money changer was seated at the tables. You know what a money changer is? They were changing the money. And there's a whole background about this, but he was changing the money. It's an example like this. If you were to go to Mexico, what would you have to do with the money? You would have to change it. Yes? You get the idea now, money changers? Okay, that's what he means by that. Okay? Who were selling oxen inside the temple and sheep doves. And the money changer was seated at the tables. And look what he says. And it says, he made a scourge of cords. Stop right there. He took a whip. I don't know about you. When I started reading about Jesus, and I saw this passage that he had a whip. Did anybody get whipped when you were little? Oh, it hurt right here. It hurt, but right here. And you couldn't sit for a while? I didn't say Jesus did that. But I am saying this. He had a scourge of cords in his hand. I don't know about you. If I go to my belt when my kids get in trouble, if I start to do one of these, my kids go like, I mean, they're 33, 20, was it 33, 28, and 23, 30, yeah. If I do this, come here. They start to run. No, it's okay. Jesus had a scourge of cords in his hand. Why? They had disgraced the temple. They were doing things inside the temple they should not be doing. And he was not a happy man. To me, Jesus was a man. Jesus was a man when I see him. He was not happy at all. I'm going to put the cord down because of what they were doing in the temple. See, he had reverence for the temple. He had respect for the temple. And when he saw them defiling the temple, look what it says he was doing. He made a scourge of cords in verse 15 and drove them all out of the temple with sheep and the oxen. He poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned the tables. You know what he did? He overturned the tables. It's what it says. Can you imagine Jesus walking to the temple and he poured out the coins of the money changers? He took all the money they were making that they shouldn't have been making with a profit, and he took the money and he threw it. And then he overturned the tables and he's got a whip in his hand. If I saw that, I'm running. It's what it says. I didn't put that in your Bible this morning. It's there. What is that telling us? Because every time I read stories about this, I always ask myself, God, what are you trying to tell me? And you know what he says? Tom, I'm telling you that your body is a temple. It has a body, it has a soul, and it has a spirit. And if you ever mess with the spirit inside, you do something that you should not say or do, I'm going to discipline you. Anybody been disciplined before? Absolutely. God does it anyway. Why? Why do we discipline our kids? Do we discipline them and say, come here, I think it's time to discipline you. You didn't do anything, but I think it's time to discipline you. We would never do that to our kids. You know what we do is that if someone was out of line, we would discipline them, and then we go to your room and think about what you did. You know what God is saying? Go to your room and think about what you did. God is a disciplined God. God doesn't want us to defile our bodies in any different ways. I see Jesus as a rugged, muscular man. He's a manly man, as I call him. God is more interested in you being holy than you being happy. Let me say that again. God is far more interested in your being holy than he is in you and your happiness. Yeah, God wants to be joy. I get that. But let me tell you, God does not bring a whip to you. God does not bring the scores to you and boast about it. But let me tell you what he does, is that if you have anything in your life that you are not proud of right now, give it to God and he will forgive you. Okay? Let me show you something else on the screen. I'm not sure what's left up here on the what's next? Yeah, exactly. Oh, one more. 12:8. Thank you. You know what? Go back to 12:6. Let me set this up. For those whom the Lord loves, he what? I'm telling you, I didn't put this up there in your Bibles. For those whom the Lord loves, he what? He disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. Go on to the next one, 12:8. But if you are without discipline, in other words, you're going through life and things are going, and you know what? I just think I'm going to do anything I want. I'll do whatever, and I'll do this to this person, and you know what? I'll go do this, and no one's going to discipline me because I'm going to do it anyway. You know why? It's because I can do it, and I'll do whatever I want, and you know what? But if you are without discipline, of which all you have become partakers, then you are an illegitimate children and not sons. In other words, if you're not being disciplined, you are illegitimate children and not sons. I don't know about you, but I surely don't want to be illegitimate. I'd rather take the whooping than be illegitimate. Anybody have your dad or your mom say to you, I am not proud of you? Those words stung. I'd rather take the chocolate and the whooping than to hear my dad say, son, I am not proud of you. Oh, dad, please don't say that. Come on, I'll take it right now, but don't say those words. Because you know why? I don't want to be illegitimate. It's exactly what it says. Go back one screen. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And he who scourges every son whom he receives. But those who do not, on the next screen, those who do not go without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Adam didn't listen. Well, Eve didn't listen, then Adam didn't listen. That's a different story in terms of all of that. But what happened when they both sinned? You remember the story. They were cast out, weren't they? And then death came in. We were not created to die. We were created to live. But because sin comes into the world in Genesis chapter 3, everything we touch dies. So there's a problem. If there's a problem that we are born with sin in our lives and God cannot see sin, something has to occur. What is that? Jesus comes down in the form of a baby who lives a life that knew that he would be the sin of all of us. He would have to defile his temple so that you would go to heaven. The moment my sister-in-law, my sister Priscilla, took her last breath on Monday, we know exactly what happened at that moment. She went up to be with Jesus when she took her last breath. All was left was just the body, but the spirit is in heaven with her sister and her mom. That body, a spirit, became clean and whole again. This body that was here is here, but she was given a new spiritual body in heaven. The moment she took her last breath. See, we are to live. And the moment we give our life to the Lord, we know exactly where we're going. Our temple, our body, as I love that song they were singing, I love what Trish said about the psalm. It just ties in with the message. And it's this: we would never come into this temple, and we would never do anything that the Lord was not happy with. Into this room right here, right now. We would never do anything, because you know why? This is a place of God. This is a house of God. Your body is a house, a temple inside of you, which is the Holy Spirit. And you know what that Spirit does? When you allow it to, it praises, it forgives, and it shares love. And we saw that this past week. So as we end the message this morning, remember that your body, your temple, the one you've been given, is to praise Him, to love on Him, and to give Him and to serve Him and to give Him all the glory. Because when you step out of line, remember this: when you step out of line, oh, it hurts. That hurt. And I can't sit down. But when you're aligned with the Lord, praises come out. There's forgiveness, there's joy, and you know what? His love. Amen? Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me?